Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You know, like, she's saying all of these, like, pretty big allegations, and I wonder why.
That's exactly what they are, allegations. Nothing concrete. I think it's bullshit. As I say, I know Andy Cohen very well. He does his edible or whatever he does. Right. No, he never does that stuff.
Right, okay.
I've seen others do it, but not him.
Not him?
Sure.
Who else you seen do it?
I'm not telling you that, but not me.
Right.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. We have so much to talk about in our pop culture segment, and we got the traitors. You already know what happened. We got to get into the inevitability, the loss of our girl, our queen, our castle mommy, Phaedra Parks. But before we get into any of those things, your girl's been busy, okay? We have been guesting on the Helipods in the past week, so check them out. Check them out. Okay, first of all, you want to hear me talk about Sister Wives again? Of course you do. I was on a podcast called The Sister Wives Professor. We had a great conversation, Dr. Adam and I, and we talked about the Brown family. We talked about where the show is going, which is like a very loose, but honestly, like that conversation really ate. So check out The Sister Wives Professor. Check out the podcast in general. Dr. Adam's awesome. Moving on, I was on Tender Love and Care podcast talking about Where is Wendy Williams and the docuseries, Wendy Williams in general. That was such a fun conversation, so check that out, Tender Love and Care podcast. And a thing that you never hear me talk about, a show, an incredible show called RuPaul's Drag Race that I actually watch all the time, but I don't talk about that on this show. So if you want to check me out and hear my thoughts on the latest episode of Drag Race, it's episode 9, I believe, right? You can check me out on Sissy That Pod. It's me, it's Incredible Kyan, Troy McKeady. I think you know who that might be. So check that out, you guys. It should be out. I think it's out today. Brand new shit, okay? So check out all those. I'm going to try to remember to put the episode descriptions, or not the episode descriptions, the links to all those podcasts in the episode description. So check that out. And let's move on, right? We got a lot to talk about, you guys. I'm just going to start off by saying, I don't know what's going on with Kristen Cavallari. Apparently she's dating a 24-year-old guy. Let me correct myself. She's actually dating a 24-year-old TikToker. And based on the one video that I've seen of her and this man together, it appears that he might do some sort of, like, sexy boy thing. Like, there's a corner of TikTok where it's just like hot guys, and I'm using air quotes, like whatever Gen Z thinks is hot, or really whatever like these Gen Z guys think the Gen Z girls think are hot. It's a lot, but they do a lot of like lip syncing of songs, a lot of like posing and like looking what they think is sexy, I guess. Like, there's no worse version of sexy than what a straight man thinks women think is sexy. You know, like, because baby, we're not even in the same book, okay? Much less the same page. So, So I think he's part of like some country hot boy collective. I honestly don't know. I'm scared. I don't think this is a Kristen Cavallari that I remember. You know how like a lot of people say that like Avril Lavigne got cloned, or you know, Jamie Foxx or whatever. I'm thinking the same thing has happened with Kristen Cavallari, because my KCav, my Kristen, was telling Steven, that football player Matt Leinart from USC and all the boys, stay in line, okay? I don't need this. I don't need you. I'm an independent woman who don't need no man. And the men were just like falling at her feet. This, what is this, honey? I don't know her. So I just gotta move on, because like I don't even want to know why she's doing this, you know? And I don't want to see the, now many people, well, are you mad at Ryan Reynolds for dating Blake Lively even though she's younger? Yes, girl. Okay, now what? Yeah. Okay. So what now? What now? What now, Megan? What are we going to do now? I do also think that's gross. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't have anything to say about that. Speaking of age gap relationships, remember I told y'all last week, these stories just somehow have a connective tissue, and I what's going on with the Cyruses, you guys? What's going on with the Cyrus family? I have never been so fascinated by a family that I don't really care about, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy for Miley when she remembers that she's white. Like, I don't need her naughty by nature, like I'm hip hop hooray, Jay's on my feet, hanging out with Juicy J. Like, I don't need that. Buy yourself the flowers, girl. Do a Joan Lead cover. I'm like, I'm with you, bitch. I'm with you when you're right, okay? I'm with her when she's right. With that being said, like, the rest of the family, I'm like, oh, I'm just not around. You know, but like, I know I talked about Billy Ray, but we'll actually circle back to that in a second. So, if you guys notice, there's been a lot of seemingly fracturing happening in the Cyrus house. The Cyrus house divided, if you will. And it seems like there are two factions of Billy Ray, Noah, and some child who's not famous. I think it's a boy. Doesn't matter. And then Tish and them. It's Tish and Miley and maybe the one... Metro Station. I'm not sure where he stands on this, but that being said, Miley, you know, won her first Grammy. She did not acknowledge her father. And it's just very clear that this family's like really not fucking with each other in a real way. So the first thing everybody thought was because Billy Ray is married to this like much younger woman, 20, I'm guessing, maybe 30s. I don't know. Something older woman, younger woman, that allegedly, I guess, the story is that she was on the Hannah Montana set. She was an actress with Miley, meaning, you know, how old would she have been at that point? That's been the predominant rumor as to why this family is not really, like, connecting, right? But this bombshell story came out, and I'm thinking, like, something in my body said the following, because here's like kind of how I like to roll with like, you know, rumors and nastiness. I don't like to dip too much into things that I can't like have a foothold in, like that I'm like, okay, I think this is true because of this, that, and the third. Even if I can't like confirm it, I'm like, I have to go by something that at least feels like it could be true. To me, this did not feel like it could be true. But something in my body was like, Carrie, maybe I think you need to talk about this. And as the days go on, you guys, I think this might actually be true. So what's been going on is that Noah, who is Miley's younger sister, Noah is, I think, 26 now, if I'm not mistaken. Apparently, she was dating this much older man. She's 24. Oh, Jesus Christ. That makes it so much worse. Okay. She's now 24, and allegedly she was in a sort of hookup, friends with benefits relationship with the actor from Prison Break, Dominic Purcell. Not the main guy, but the other scary looking one, okay? Apparently, this man is 54, by the way. Between the ages of 52 and 56. I just remember how old I said Noah is, right? Okay. So apparently a couple of years ago, so we're talking when she was even younger, she and Dominic were in like some sort of fuck buddy relationship with each other. They stopped seeing each other. And then her mother, Tish, starts seeing Dominic. Things get popping. Apparently there is no conversation had between Noah and Tish. Tish knew that Noah was fucking this man, but did not have a conversation with her daughter about the fact that she was now fucking this man. Now, shout out to a listener. You put me onto a lovely tip. So you told me that Tish had done an interview and she discussed meeting him / like discovering in meeting him that she had tried to hit Dom up in the DMs. He had DM'd her years ago, but then at some point his ex, who we might possibly be getting into in a second, had blocked Tish. So her line of thinking was like, okay, why would you like be searching some dude unless your daughter was dating him to discover, oh my gosh, he actually had me blocked, or his girlfriend had me blocked, you know? That adds up. Right, so continuing on to this, like the initial story was just Noah and Dominic dated, Tish possibly took him, here go hell come, right? Now, this story has really evolved. There's been no, there's been the classic we declined to comment, but the story has not been, like, debunked or shut down at all. So the latest evolution of this story is that apparently Miley had no idea about any of this until we found out, okay? So according to people, Miley had no idea about the drama with Dominic. No idea at all. And she confronted her mom about it. She thinks it's a strange situation, but she loves her mom and wants her to be happy. Okay, girl. So, remember when I mentioned Dominic's ex possibly having Tish blocked? So I didn't know all of this about the actress Annalyn McCord. She was from the, you know, the 90210 iteration, the reiteration, the retooling, 90210-2 Electric Boogaloo, whatever it was called. So they started dating in 2011. I believe Annalyn might be my age, which is 38. So in 2011, yikes, girl. Okay, so another significant age gap relationship. So they began dating in 2011, broke up in 2014, maybe probably got it back together in about 2015, and then broke up again in 2018. But apparently they had been like living together off and on, or possibly this entire time until like maybe fairly recently, like in the last couple of years, right? So she, Annalyn McCord, in 2011 did an interview where she told, in this interview, she talked about her sexual assault, her past sexual assault, and how she healed said trauma from the assault with Dom through BDSM. So she says she had like gone public with her sexual abuse. She was at a charity event and it just kind of came out. This was not something she had planned on saying. And then she, like years later, was dealing with the trauma of that, was having severe panic attacks, went under PTSD treatment. And then she says, I literally went into BDSM, bondage, domination, sadomasochism, because I couldn't feel anything. And this was around the time that she started seeing Dominic. So the interviewer asks her, who broke through the wall? And she says, a very, very ferociously strong man, Dominic Purcell. You might know him from Prison Break. He was busting up some heads and breaking out of prison. It took a big, strong, angry Aussie. I had such severe sexual abuse at such a young age that my body decided this is unsafe for you to feel, so I was completely numb. However, Dom and I had this relationship. Yeah, Dom was my Dom. There were many reasons why that man will be my forever person. He's staying at my house right now. We're not together, but we're a family, and it is what it is right now. So then she says that Dom was a mirror back to her and that he created a space for her, but he called her the fuck out, didn't take any bullshit, and that's why she trusted him. I trusted no masculine energies. I trusted no man because I figured I'm going to push every fucking button that you have, and if you cave, I can't trust you. But he changed everything. And she says there was a sexual aspect that was underlying that was pulling us, and we had explosive sex. So because we live in a world where technically anything and everything is possible, I think, yes, it is entirely possible that Dominic Purcell managed to heal Annalyn McCord's sexual trauma through BDSM. Okay. I think it's more likely that he was probably taking advantage of a very young girl and using her trauma for his own little sexual quibbles. That sounds a lot more likely to me, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Who are me to judge? Okay? I'm not. Hands up. So yeah, you guys, I actually think that this Cyrus shit is true because what did Rob Minkoff teach us the other day? People don't report to People magazine unless it's like a real true source. So who dropped this? Did Morgan Wade drop this story? I think we gotta move on. we gotta move on just like very, very quickly, okay? I don't give a fuck about Jackson Brittany, okay? You can put that on my mama and on my hood. I don't care what you two are doing, okay? I don't care. This is publicity. I'm not buying it. Okay? Yeah, y'all had a shitty relationship. Yeah, you guys should probably be divorced. Yeah, you guys probably shouldn't have married in the first place. But I knew all that shit. This is what I was screaming about the other day, about how celebrities and PR people need to start stepping their pussies up because us normal people are now seeing right through all of this. You don't think, dummies, that we don't know that y'all's brand new show that you know we don't want to watch is coming up in a few weeks. And that in order to, like, drum up some interest, you want to do some sort of, oh, Scandivalian, let's take a look back and see what possibly happened between Jackson Brittany in season one that all, let's put the pieces together and see what went wrong with them. And how did they get here now? We gotta see. I gotta get eyes on that. Nobody cares, okay? Nobody cares. Listen, Jason, you should just be grateful for what you have. Ever since you got off that godforsaken show, you've been posting damn camera emojis on Instagram stories, trying to drop hints like you were, going off to Florida to do hockey social media. You've been dropping hints for years that you guys are going to be back on TV, that you guys are going to get some fucking HGTV show. We're doing our own show. Finally, your boy Sandoval threw you a fucking bone by throwing a bone at Rachel. Okay, more on her later. And you were like, okay, Bravo, please. Somebody in some sort of Scandival stupor gave the green light for this dumb show that nobody wants to see, okay? And now, frankly, like, once again, you are ruining it for the other people who are on the show who might actually be compelling. I doubt it. We all saw the trailer. Didn't look good. But this dumb shit is ruining it for everybody else. So sorry to you guys, and I'm not going to waste one more minute, like, chronicling the ups and downs, and Brittany in a distressed Lil Wayne t-shirt, looking straight at the camera while she moves very slowly in and out of her homes. Girl, go away from me with this, Apollo. Like, please do not let a man who was actively taking supplements that he knew was giving him tumors in his pecs fool you. Don't, you guys are better than this. If you're listening to this, I'm telling you, you're better than that. So don't do it, okay? I love you. Do better. Do better. You would think that would be my girl of the week, right? No, it's actually going to Bethany Frankel once again. Once again, our perennial girl. That's our girl, okay? So here's the thing. You would think that, like, I would be so excited about the news that Bethany announced that she's going to be canceling her Rewives podcast because it's, like, against the morals that I guess she's grown in the past, I don't know, 15 minutes before she sat down to record that podcast saying that she was going to end it. She says that as of late, there's just been so much dirt and garbage and crap, like a dark cloud over the space, this medium, the vehicle in entertainment. Okay, girl, let's just go back a little bit in history, okay? Because she said, oh, I thought this would be a good piece of business when I started the podcast. But then, like, her mind changed as she started to interview these people, these Bravo celebrities, these housewives, right? Girl, we all remember that when she announced she was going to do this podcast, everybody, including Andy Cohen, was like, excuse me, why would you do that? Because you've been talking shit about housewives for literally years, and how you don't want to get back on camera, and how they would have to offer you some sort of offshore account for you to come back and be a housewife again. And then you were like, oh, by the way, I'm going to do a Housewives recap podcast, and I'm going to have, like, Hillary Clinton talk about, you know, Scary Island or whatever the fuck. And we're like, why? You know? For what, girl? Like, for what? Because I thought you didn't want this. She hopped on a trend that she knew was popping at the time, and now she's doing this reality TV reckoning, and now what's happening is that there is something up her tiny little sleeve. I know it. And I know that her canceling this podcast is just a little leap towards something else, and so I'm not going to be, like, again, I'm not going to be fooled. I will not be fooled. Don't be fooled, 2024, okay? The late stage crisis of conscience is just a warning sign for something else to pop up. This is like the Jurassic Park, you know, like the part in the movie where the water glass is shaking. Like, something's coming and it's going to be worse than what we got before. So, you know, I can't be happy. I know it's going to be bad. So I guess we need to get to the Bravo lawsuit portion of the show, since there were a couple of them. Starting with Andy, I'm just going to go real quick, because, like, we started with a couple weeks ago, Brandy dropping her claims that Andy had, like, tried to approach her sexually, and, you know, we found out that he was just on a FaceTime call with Kate Chastain and was like, hey, I'm going to fuck Kate, and, like, do you want to watch or something? He said that this was inappropriate, shouldn't have done it. However, he was obviously joking. And then Leah McSweeney of Real Housewives of New York comes out swinging, saying that Andy has provided cocaine to a coterie of housewives. And I'm going to steal that. A coterie of housewives. And that they were Bravo, Andy, the network, etc., was responsible for her falling off the wagon and her drinking again, even though she, like, I just want to be so, you know, like, fair, you know. Leah, I feel like, just said a couple months ago that she, before filming, had started drinking again after years of sobriety, went on the show, had told everybody, including us, because I remember her talking about this, that she, like, yeah, I was sober for a long time, but I'm drinking again, it's no big deal, it's not a problem. But now she's saying that, like, it's Bravo's fault and responsibility, her sobriety, and she's claiming some sort of disability as well. Like, again, like, I want to be fair. I'm not going to be, like, standing up for a network and a head of a network, even a figurehead of a network, over, like, the people, you know? People over profit or whatever. But, like, also I'm just like, the math just really isn't mathing for me. You know, I also don't really think, like, as a side note, I don't think we need all these other housewives being like, Andy never offered me coke, like, whatever. Like, because frankly, all the housewives that are coming out about this, I'm like, honestly, like, this is apropos of nothing, but like, I would not have offered any of the women who've said that they have not been offered coke, I wouldn't have offered them cocaine either. Like, sorry, like, no shade. I'm just not offering Heather Dubrow or Margaret Josephs, or honestly, Gertie, like, and I like Gertie, but, like, I wouldn't offer her cocaine. Like, none of these women, like, you guys aren't, like, helping. I mean, you're not hurting, but you're not helping either, you know what I mean? Like, just none of you guys would be the people I'd be like, hey, you want a bump? I don't know. I mean, that, we gotta get back to the point. Like, if Shep says it, I wouldn't believe him. Like, that, like, if Shep was like, I swear for God that Andy Cohen has never offered me coke, then I'd be like, okay, wrap it up here. You know? But like, also, like, is it, I don't know, like, I've seen a lot of conversation about, like, on the one hand, clearly this is not appropriate behavior for an executive to, like, people, you know, in his employ for the most part.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And the other part's like, who's surprised by this? Like, we've been new. I mean, Kathy Griffin had been talking about this, like, how many years ago? Other people had suggested this. I don't know. I guess I'm just, like, not really sure where to land on this. So I'm just, like, unresolved in my feelings, I have to admit. I just don't have, like, a hard feeling one way or the other. Do I feel like this is the end or the beginning of the end for Andy Cohen? Kind of. Honestly, I kind of do. But I don't know. Does it change? Because I'm like, yeah, Andy does coke. Like, that doesn't surprise me. So, like, I guess none of this was shocking. Is it inappropriate? Yes. Is it shocking? Not particularly. You know what I mean? But does it make the fact that I'm not shocked, doesn't make it okay? You know what I mean? Like, let's just make that clear. So, I say all this to say I don't have much of an opinion. We gotta move on to, like, Rachel, suing Tom and Ariana. Because this is, like, another sticky but mostly not situation. So, Rachel has decided to, there's like a 19-page lawsuit that she is suing, I think, just Ariana and Tom, not Bravo, not production or anything, even though she's got a lot of feelings about Bravo and how they treated her, she's not suing them. But let's get into it, because I read the 19-page suit, and it starts off, I'm just going to do a little general recap, right? So there's a general allegations portion towards the beginning, including hostile and unsafe working environment on Vanderpump Rules. It gives us a backstory. You know, she started on Vanderpump as a girlfriend to James Kennedy. And it says, James Kennedy, a DJ prone to violent outbursts and grappling with longstanding abuse and emotional dysregulation. Kennedy would regularly berate Levis, falsely accuse her of cheating, and act in a generally unhinged manner. Some of this was captured on a camera, some was not. Levis eventually warned Kennedy that she would leave him if he did not stop drinking. However, she soon learned that his despicable behavior was not solely a function of alcohol abuse. At Thanksgiving with her family in Arizona, Kennedy erupted at her and her father and kicked her family dog 4 times in an uncontrollable rage. In 2021, she ended her relationship and broke off their engagement. Kennedy's history of violent and dangerous behavior was well known by Bravo, Evolution, and the cast. Kennedy once physically assaulted then-cast member Kristen Doty on camera. The footage, however, never aired. Nor has Kennedy faced any repercussions for his actions, which would otherwise be a fireable at minimum offense due in part to the intervention of his powerful ally, Lisa Vanderpump, who has served as his protector. Now, there have been, like, reports about Kristen. I mean, not reports. Kristen's straight up been saying recently that James was physically abusive towards her. And I fully believe her. I don't know if it's fair to be putting this in a lawsuit. If Kristen has nothing to do with this. I mean, I see she's trying to make a point, but this point, I mean, this lawsuit is not for James. You know, it's for Tom and Ariana. And I get, like, we're trying to set a story here. But I just feel like, personally, like, if I were Kristen, I'd be like, I get the point, and like, I support you, girl. But I also, like, don't need to be in this lawsuit. But that's just my opinion. You know, like, we can move on, okay? Rachel then goes on to say that in 2021, after the breakup, she started drinking a lot to cope, and that drinking was encouraged by production and Sandoval. She later described herself as imbibed and emotionally raw, leaning on Tom Sandoval for emotional support. And that he was, like, reiterating that back to her. He started confiding in her about how he and Ariana were basically glorified business partners living together. Their relationship was going nowhere. La-da-da, right? She goes on to say that even though the affair was reported to be a secret, that because she and Tom were not discreet, she believes that Ariana knew about the affair as early as fall of 2022. She says they started their affair in August of 2022, on or about August 10th. She believes that Ariana was privy to it by fall, maybe like a couple months later. And that in December of 2022, Ariana scolded them for being handsy in public and telling them save it for season 11, and implies that the show was on its last legs and Ariana specifically was, like, on the chopping block to be fired. So here's kind of, like, what I think may have actually happened. I don't doubt that something along this happened. But, like, you know how we were watching last season and there were these, like, oh, LOL jokes about them being a throuple. Like, oh, them and the taking pictures in the hot tub in Mexico. They're like, oh, if we post this, people are going to think we're together. Like, blah, blah, blah. Those moments where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that was said, knowing what we know now. I have a feeling, and also, like, we know that Rachel has a tendency to take things very literally and maybe, like, read into things where she shouldn't be. I would not doubt if what happened is that, yeah, they probably were being, like, very loosey-goosey and handsy with each other, and Ariana, not thinking that there were actually fucking, was like, oh, save it for next season, like, joking, you know. And Rachel took that as, oh, she knows and she's cool with it and she's doing this in order to save her spot on the show and the show in general, because she goes on to talk about how upset everybody was and the fallout of the relationship and all of this, but she never mentions that, oh, everybody knew this all along from this point on. It's just this brief mention of it, and then the rest of it is, like, what we all knew, which is, like, she was devastated to find these videos of Rachel on Tom's phone. All of this is in line with somebody who really didn't know, because the reaction was that of somebody who didn't know, not of somebody who was like, oh, you just blew my whole shit up and we, like, had a plan or something and you're ruining it. Like, the rest of it does not give this was all a plan or a scheme that we set up to save the show. I'm not seeing the point of this. Also, like, if this was true, why wouldn't you have been saying that this whole time? You know, like, you've had plenty of time to say that this was all fake, but this is only coming up in one part of this lawsuit. So I'm sorry. Like, I'm just not buying that part. So then she goes on to discuss the fateful night where Ariana found the videos of her on Tom's phone and how she thinks that those videos were recorded February of 2023. This came out March of 2023. But because she did not know that Tom was recording her in the first place, there are probably more pictures and screenshots and stuff, videos that she has no idea about. So Then she says that she alleges that at the very least, Ariana sent videos that she found to herself and then back to Rachel and then also told production. And she thinks that, like, because other people have hinted as to what the contents of the video are, that they've also seen it. And so it's like Ariana, Tom, and Doe's, like Jane and John Doe's 1 through 50 are listed in this lawsuit. She doesn't know who these people are, but she's saying that, like, Ariana basically told friends, people on the show, people off the show, production, that sort of thing. And she goes on to say that that weekend after everything blew up, she and Tom filmed that weird, creepy-ass scene. But what we did not see was that she had confronted Tom about the fact that he had recorded her without her consent. And he first was, like, trying to do his typical Tom spin, lying, confusion, magic tricks and stuff. But then she eventually, like, called him to the carpet and he kind of sheepishly apologized, sort of. So the one thing that I did agree with her, which was sort of like a shot fired at Bravo, saying that Tom basically threw a hissy fit and eventually talked Bravo into cutting that scene. But ultimately, it could have been a better scene where she's calling him out on some bullshit. And basically, like, they were just, like, acting in his favor. And that essentially, a lot of this is, like, Bravo used every opportunity they could to throw me under the bus, make me feel like I couldn't speak out on the situation or there would be consequences. But meanwhile, other people on the cast got to say whatever they want and benefit monetarily and otherwise and gain fame from this scandal. And yeah. And then it goes on to talk about, like, the emotional distress of Katie saying that she wanted to light her on fire, being, you know, listed as one of two poo-poo heads at some point during the reunion, and Andy being upset with Andy for being like, I think she was medicated because she low-key was, and she felt like that was rude. Remember, she tried to issue a HIPAA violation against Andy Cohen. Sorry. So then she talks about how there were, like, people spreading rumors and, you know, about how maybe she tried to put Graham down at one point. And basically she's, like, her job opportunities have dried up and, like, she's just irrevocably broken as a result of a salacious storyline. And I was like, girl, this was not a storyline. It's your life that happened on a reality show and people talked about it. And okay, you made the choice not to come back to the show. You've already told us a couple of reasons why you decided not to come back to the show. The first one was money, that you felt like you were not going to be getting compensated fairly. And then you had to try to find some, like, other non-monetary reasons why you didn't want to do it. Now you're saying, oh, that, like it's like you're surprised that, well, I left the show, and wouldn't you know it, they kept talking about this situation. And I am absolutely shocked because I chose not to be on the show still. And then here they are talking about me. And it's like, well, how are you surprised about that, babe? How is that possible that you're surprised by that? So basically what goes on, she says that first she starts with the legal stuff for Tom, for illegally recording her between 2022 and 2023 without her consent. You know, the assumption that she was in her home, that she was not being recorded, and that's why she was, you know, feeling free to record this stuff with him, right? Or, you know, to be naked and whatevering herself, right? And then it goes on to say that Ariana, or rather she believes that Ariana, obtained videos of her from Tom's phone, distributed and disseminated them to others, including but not limited to sending them back to her own phone, to Rachel, and to other people whose identities are not currently known to Rachel. And then she says that she thinks that Ariana displayed those videos, or at least disclosed the contents of it, or, like, talked about them to people who may not have received them directly, like Bravo, Evolution, cast members, friends, whatever. So it seems like she wants punitive damages from both of them. Tom, she wants, I think, lawyer's fees, statutory damages, actual damages, and for Ariana to pay punitive damages in an amount to be determined at trial. So she wants us to go to trial, jury trial, and to like, to also deter Ariana from doing this sort of behavior in the future. So again, like, my main question is, if this was fake, as you're saying, and that everybody knew, why would everybody then be so upset? Like, you're not explaining that part. That part doesn't really make sense to me. I mean, Ariana was on Shenanigans, I believe, in August of last year, saying that what she saw of the video was a couple seconds before she turned it off. She never took anything. She never did anything of that nature. Yeah. I mean, why? Because I hate these questions, and yet, so I don't want to be the one to be like, why is she doing this now? Why is she waiting? Because, you know, like, those questions tend to come up in other situations and they infuriate me. So I'm trying to be fair to her, but I'm just like, not quite getting it. I'm just not quite getting it. And that's just my truth. It's just not working out for me, girl. Like, again, and a lot of these things are like of your design. Like, all roads lead back to you making this decision to be in a relationship with this man at the end of the day. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, your job, it's not Ariana's fault that this story took on a life of its own and now people don't want to fuck with you on a professional level. Like, that's not her fault. She didn't do anything about that, you know? And there was also like a heavy suggestion, or maybe I just misinterpreted this, that the fact that Ariana told people there was a video was the reason why this story got so big. And I have to say, not true, babe. That's not true. That's not why. That's really, like, you could take the video part out of it, and I would still be just as intrigued. Like, doesn't really affect much for me anyway, but I don't know, girl. Y'all, it's a lot going on. And all this stuff came out in a matter of, like, 26 hours. Like, can I get a break? Damn, girl. Whew, is this all we have to talk about? I mean, not even all. This was quite a bit. Quite a bit. Oh God, we have to end on a weird note, you know. This was very heavy. Let's end it weird, okay, with our headline of the week. And that's gonna go to Bradley Cooper, who is trying to do who is he? Leonard Bernstein? Who is this conductor man that he has been doing acting as? I don't know. But he has been, like, really campaigning. He's really been lip-syncing for his life. Bradley Cooper wants an Oscar so fucking bad. And shout out to Ali Siegel of Web Crawlers, who said, somebody just needs to, like, go to a sports store or something. Just give him an award so he doesn't feel so pressured to say these kinds of things, okay? Y'all, he was in an interview the other day saying, crying. Getting emotional about how the fact he didn't know this man, but like, I wish I had known him. This man that you're, what? That you portrayed in the movie? Crying in an interview about how he wished he had known him. Okay, so this leads me to the headline of the week. Bradley Cooper says he's comfortable walking around naked at home because his dad was, quote, always nude. My dad was always nude, and I always took showers with him. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. Is this something that you and Gigi Hadid talk about? You have this conversation with Yolanda? What'd she say? Bradley, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, does this have anything to do with the movie? What's happening, Bradley? What's happening? Something happened to him since A Star Is Born, and like, I don't, somebody, but I, not me, you know? You know what I mean? All right, let's move on with the traitors.
We're going to start the vote with Sheree. Who do you think is a traitor and why?
So happy to have had this experience with you. I do love you. I don't want to get emotional, but I've enjoyed our time in this game. But I think you're a traitor.
All right, let's get into the traitors. Our saddest episode yet. So where we left off last episode, 4 votes, split votes. 4 for Phaedra, 4 for Peter. MJ, the deciding vote. Thank fuck, MJ writes Peter, right? She says, it sucks, I don't like this part of the game, but I just kind of felt like things were blowing more towards Peter's direction of being a traitor than anybody else. So Peter gets up, he gives this big speech, right? You know, I know that I've been all gas, no breaks since the beginning. But you guys, I'm a faithful till the end. I tried to save y'all. Take care. I'm out. Peter out. Peter's flown out. Or whatever. He's a pilot, right? I don't know. Phaedra takes a long sip of water, right? It's not good for her. Trishel goes, we tried to tell you guys. She goes over and hugs CT. Thank you for having my back, right? After that, Trishel sits down with Sandra, Kate Chastain, and Sheree and says, listen, I'm probably going to go home tonight, but I swear I still think it's Phaedra. Like, they're just like, I don't know. There's just too much evidence. I don't know. But I do think that there are definitely 2 traitors left. So then John and CT go and play pool, right? And CT's like, how is this going for you? Is this harder than UK politics? And John's like, oh, no, this is way harder. John is pretty confident that he's going to go home tonight, right? And he's telling this to MJ and CT. John and CT are not happy with MJ. He's like, I'm going home. She's like, no, you don't know about that. They're like, yeah, whatever, MJ. Then we don't want to hear it. She says in a confessional, listen, I still kind of feel like the reasoning against Phaedra was still weak. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So CT says in a confessional, there's a whole clique of the ladies left, right? Obviously, 1 or 2 of them are traitors. And the other ones are just trying to be nice to the other ones so that they can get recruited. And then he says that Phaedra's been so good to me right now. But you know what? In my hat of hats, I think she's a traitor. And when he said that, I really melted. Sheree is scrambling, y'all. Like, she has been this whole time. But now she's really, like, now it's a mind game. And it's really working her into overdrive. So she's really trying her best to question Phaedra. And it's like, girl, this is the third time your name has come up at the round table. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about CT voting against you at the round table? She's like, yeah, that's so weird. It came out of nowhere. But you know what? It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If you don't defend yourself against people, they say you don't, you're soft. And then if you do, they say you're getting too personal. And then Phaedra says in a confessional, or Sheree says, I don't think Phaedra's a traitor, but she's also not really doing a good job at defending herself. And it really doesn't look good. So after that, Phaedra and Kate have their traitor meeting in the turret, right? To discuss who they're going to next. So they talk about how John is annoying, right? He's long-winded. He's blowing through his time with these fucking speeches, right? I was going to get murdered tonight. Like, you know, CT switched it up on Phaedra like a reversible belt, she says. So, you know what? If the rest of Peter's pals are going to play numbers, so can they. So they basically decide that whoever's getting the axe has got to be between John, who talks too much, that really seems to be his only issue, and Trishel, who has been gunning for Phaedra for quite a while now, right? So then we get to breakfast. CT, he's like fully hot on Phaedra's scent, right? Phaedra, who do you think the trait is? He's like, oh, I don't know. So Phaedra says in a confessional, I know CT is trying to let me know that he knows that I'm a traitor, right? I'm just trying to get through today because if I can get through that, then I'm good to the final, right? Sheree walks in. She's still like, I trust Phaedra, but it's also kind of like, well, if she's not the traitor at that point, then who is, right? It also kind of appears that MJ had a revelation the night before because Peter had been saying at the roundtable, if he was a traitor, he wouldn't just be killing his Peter's pals every night. So now she's like, damn, I think I made a huge mistake. Trishel and her beret walk in, her breakfast beret. So now we find out officially John from the House of Commons has been murdered. So then MJ's like, uh-oh, It's got to be Phaedra now. So then they show John reading the official letter that he got murdered, right? He's like, you know, I'm not surprised in the slightest by my macabre fate. Sir, calm down. So now all of Peter pals are gone, right? Except for Trishelle. She's got to convince the other people, we got to take Phaedra out right now. CT is telling her, okay. He will actually say it at the breakfast table. Gosh, I wish I would be as functional as John is at his age. And Phaedra goes, well, how old is John, actually? And MJ goes, honestly, I don't think he's that old. I just think people in England don't get Botox. Like, what do y'all think? He's 28? Oh, my gosh. So now CT is the only dude left in the competition. So he's like, this is like a whole new game now. And whoever does the best on the mission tonight gets a one-on-one date with me. And, like, listen, the way I know that he is completely joking, I would have been trying harder than ever, okay? This would have been my finest moment. I would have been breaking time. I would have agility, skill, blowing through my fastest personal times. You would, FloJo. Okay, nothing on me. Usain.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Anyway, MJ approaches Sheree on some, like, mother-to-mother stuff, okay? Listen, you know we have to get Phaedra out tonight, Sheree, okay? You know that. So Kate is there, so she's trying to help Sheree out, or Phaedra out a little bit. Listen, you guys, I'm kind of thinking maybe Sandra might be a traitor. So then this, like, immediately throws MJ off, like, oh, man, am I missing something? Like, Kate, tell me what you know, right? So she says in a confessional, Kate is smart, but do I think that Kate is smarter than me? Yes, I do. And so MJ looks over and it's Sandra playing this like huge outdoor chess game with Phaedra. So she's like, well, maybe Sandra could be, right? So Trishelle then takes CT aside to say, listen, you know Phaedra's a traitor, but all these Bravo girls are all clicked up, right? They're going to want to keep her. It's probably just going to be us two voting for her at the round table, right? But for whatever reason, Trishelle starts getting real riled up. It's like, these people, I have been trying for week after week. I've been taking my notes out. I've been telling them about my feelings and all the compelling evidence from least to most compelling. And nobody's believed me. So now she's like skipping outside and CT's following after her. But he's just hiding behind a pillar just to giggle and watch what shenanigans Trishelle gets herself into. So now Trishelle's all activated. It's like, you guys, are you guys ready to talk logic and reason? And they're like, are you okay? And she's like, no, actually, I am not okay. So she tells Kate and MJ, it's just really feeling like you guys are intentionally keeping Phaedra around at this point, knowing she's a traitor because y'all want to stay until the end. And MJ tells her, girl, whatever you're thinking right now is a mistake, okay? There's no intention on my part. There's no way in hell I'm going to let a traitor steal all our money at the end. So you got me fucked up, right? So Trishelle's like, okay, cool. We're on the same page then. The challenge for this episode, they have to like go to a lake or whatever, and there are like gold nuggets. This is a $30,000 prize. They have to run on these like shaky little platforms to get to this pot. And there's also one final shield for the season to avoid the final murder that night. So if you're good, you're good through to the final, right? So it's like Flop City. Flop City for everybody until they finally get to Trishelle and CT. These people are trained in this exact type of bullshit MTV challenge. So they're like killing it. Like their muscle memory is just like primed for uneven ground, diving into water when you don't want to, you know, whatever they're doing over at MTV VH1. And thank God whoever at Wardrobe picked these outfits for the water, because CT's thighs were like a Christmas ham, okay? And to all a good night, all right? Bless. Phaedra's getting all hot and bothered too, little out Castle Daddy. Like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. MJ ends up getting the shield. But, like, you have to still, you can't just get the shield. You have to take it to that final destination over those shaky platforms, right? She's been flopping hard left and right. Left and right. It's basically just been CT and Trishelle getting the money for everybody. So, they've got 1 minute left. Somehow, MJ ends up making the goal. She's protected from the final night's murder. So, shout out to MJ. I knew she was going to make it till the end. I just knew it. That's Vita's girl, you know? And a Vita girl makes it to the end, whether you like it or not, okay? So after that, they have their final dinner. And Sandra's like, okay, now I know it's Phaedra, but Sheree's still really conflicted. Meanwhile, Kate's trying her hardest to say, listen, let's just vote Phaedra out tomorrow and do Sandra tonight, right? So she's trying to convince everybody, but Sandra walks up to the group. And so Sandra only hears the part of, we're going to vote Phaedra out tomorrow. So she's like, okay, guys, so who are we voting out tonight? Kate has to be like, it's anybody's guess. I don't know. I have no idea. So after that, Sheree takes Phaedra aside for this final heart-to-heart. Like, they're girlfriends. They're Atlanta girls, right? We see each other. They've got the history that goes even before the show, right? So she takes her aside and is like, Phaedra, everybody's gunning for you. Like, if you're not a traitor, then tell me who you think is. And Phaedra's just like, I don't know, maybe CT and maybe Sandra. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think we should keep Sandra, though. So Sheree's like, girl, you know that we can't win as faithfuls if there's a traitor at the end. So help me help you. Look in my eyes, Phaedra. Are you a traitor? And Phaedra goes, what, you said what? What was your question? Girl, you know what the question was. Phaedra, are you a traitor? Sheree, no, I'm not. So then Sheree says in a confessional, I've known Sheree for almost 30 years. Our relationship is more important than this game. Because at this point, Sheree's still on Atlanta. Like, we don't know how these contracts are settling out. I don't know if I'm going to hop over back from Married to Medicine. Like, I got to keep this friendship, girl. She didn't say all that, but that was implied. That was me reading between the lines, right? So then we get to the round table. Phaedra has got this big fight against her. Like, her back's up against the wall, right? Sheree says in a confessional, I don't know which way this vote's going to go, but I just don't think Phaedra would lie to me. Sheree Whitfield, run that sentence back one more time. You don't think Phaedra Parks will lie to you, Miss? Oh, this baby's got to get up out of here. My due date's July 26th or August 1st. 28 weeks. Yeah. The doctor said that the baby's lungs are fully formed. It's okay, girl. 28 weeks. You. The first time we saw you cry in the entirety of Real Housewives of Atlanta was when you found out that Phaedra had told Portia that Candy and Todd were trying to drug and send her down to the dungeon basement. And you're telling me that you don't think Phaedra's going to lie. Oh, girl. She lied on Mr. President's name in utero. And you don't think she's going to lie to you for a cash prize for NBC Universal? Ma'am. Girl, so Trishelle starts off the round table again, right? Her whole chest. when all the other faithfuls were trying to defend themselves at the round table in the past Phaedra, they were all saying something along the lines of like, oh, y'all are going to see you were about to make a huge mistake. But last night, Phaedra, you didn't say anything. And I put that in my notebook. Phaedra says, Trishel, that's the craziest argument in the world, right? You're trying to put the heat on me, but I've never heard something so ludicrous. So MJ says, Phaedra, I didn't think you were a traitor, but because of your nature and your disposition and you're a badass who's taken on a lot in life. I'm like, yeah, that's one way to put it, MJ. That's the nicest way you could put it. So then Sheree says, Phaedra, it's going to kill me if I find out that you're a traitor because we have, like, we formed relationships through all this. And Phaedra says, there's not been one bit of concrete evidence against me so far, you know? So they're like, listen, I don't want to believe that you're a traitor, but people have been saying that I have this blind loyalty to you, so I don't know. So Phaedra says to her, we've been friends for 30 years, and I'm always transparent. Ma'am. And Sheree says, okay, but do you have anything else to say or to give us? And Phaedra just goes, I'm very exhausted. And, you know, it just gets to a point where you just get tired of fighting. So now Kate's annoyed because she's been, like, attempting to help Phaedra. But now she's like, listen, I went to bat for you, but now you're on your own, okay? So Sheree has this very emotional moment where she, like, pulls her chalkboard and is like, I didn't want to vote for you, Phaedra, but then she did. And then Kate, now Kate's like, she's got some bass in her voice. Listen, there's nobody else I could even stomach voting for at this table except for you, Phaedra. And I feel like you're more selfish and skillful. And it's just really not fun to play games with people like that. So Phaedra then votes for CT. She's like, listen, CT, I'm just all for girl power. And he goes, sexist. So then CT really gets Phaedra. And he's like, I actually think, Phaedra, he votes for her, that you came on here to be the opposite of who you are in real life. Damn. And that love story ended real quick, didn't it? So Phaedra gets up because everybody voted for her, basically. And she's like, you know what? I'm the most fabulous, faithful traitor. And Sheree yells, there's no faithful traitor. I'm going to miss the show. One of the first things that I really started loving about this show was Sheree just voting whatever way the wind blew with no thoughts, just vibes, and then being wrong and be like, oh, come on, guys. I'm really going to miss the show. We should have Phaedra or Sheree just be on next season. She's not going to be any more adept to the rules season two than she is now, you know? We'll just get her to do it. Never be a perennial guest. I want to do it. So then, you know, Phaedra says, y'all, I hope there's no hard feelings. I just wish you guys all good luck. Phaedra says in a confessional, yeah, I did what I wanted to do. Everybody here is who I wanted to be here at the end. I get to get on a plane, get the hell out of Scotland. That's my prize. So after this, also, do you guys think that, like, maybe kind of like, I couldn't think of a show exactly, but I know that there are some shows where the longer you stay, like, if you end up being top five, top three, whatever, you still get, like an extra little kickback than you would if you were just on the show, period. I wonder if that happens on the show as well. Like, if you get, like, an extra, would that be part of, like, their, well, I guess reality TV doesn't have a union. Well, Bethany, one less podcast, more free time for you to cover that one, girl. Anyway, so after this, Kate is, like, really letting the chopper spray about her feelings about Phaedra, how annoyed she was with her during all this. And so Sandra's got her listening ear, right? And she's, like, drinking out of her blue and gold goblet and says, you know what? The way that Kate is attacking Phaedra right now, it's just really making me uncomfortable. It's ringing alarm bells for me. It just doesn't add up. And now all I'm thinking is, could she be a traitor? Well, Sandra, I guess you'll find out. Is next week the finale? Oh, that's sad for me. All right, guys, that's it. thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. We have another wrap-up, pre-reunion wrap-up with Rachel and Desi of Hollywood Crime Scene talking about the rest of the episodes of Love is Blind and, you know, Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, Housewives. I'll get to at some point, you know? We'll get into all of it. Have a good week. I'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.